Chris, I'm sorry, but we have the news conference. It looks like it's about to begin. Mayor Tom Menino, who's in a
No,
wheelchair, has been
no
wheeled to the
problem.
microphone. So we're
Okay.
going to let you go, and
So,
we're going to
we're so grateful to be here right
okay, but
now.
The
Here he
mood
is.
here is good.
We're so grateful to bring justice and a closure to this case. To those families that lost loved ones or suffered injuries that they'll live with the rest of their lives.
This is actually Colonel Albin, who's the superintendent of the Massachusetts
For a
State
police
Police.
Officer, a young man starting a career at MIT, and a police officer with the MBTA who almost lost his life, and for neighborhoods that lived in fear for an entire day, we are eternally grateful for the outcome here tonight. We have a suspect in custody. I want to thank all of the partners who worked tirelessly over the last 4 days, including the FBI, the Transit Police, our brothers with the Boston Police Department, the U.S. Attorney's Office, and the support that we've gotten from our governor over the last 4 days. We're exhausted, folks, but we have a victory here tonight. But let's not forget those people along the way. Thanks very much. Governor?
Thank you, Colonel. Well, on behalf of Crystal and Martin and Lingsey, on behalf of the MIT officer who was lost last night and the transit police officer who was injured, on behalf of the hundreds of people who were hurt by the explosions at the marathon, I want to say how grateful I am to the colonel, to the special agent in charge, Rick DeLaurier, to all of the law enforcement who worked so well and so hard together, to bring us to tonight's conclusion. It was a very, very complicated case, a very challenging case, and there are still some questions remaining to be answered. But as the Colonel said, because of that extraordinary collaboration and cooperation by all of these law enforcement resources and assets, and more to the point, people, professionals, who brought their A game, we have a suspect in custody tonight. I want to also just thank all of the members of the public for their extraordinary patience, their participation in this investigation by reviewing photographs of their own and others that were up through the media, and we thank you for that, and helping us narrow in on these suspects. They were helpful and patient, and we are grateful for that as well. It's a night where I think we're all going to rest easy. Carmen?
That's Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick.
Good evening. I'm United States Attorney Carmen Ortiz, and I have to say that both the governor and the colonel have put it tremendously well. Tonight, we feel a tremendous sense of gratitude and relief. The ordeal that this community, especially this neighborhood, has endured over the last 24 hours tonight, we can sleep a bit easier. And all of the unpredictable, horrific, and yet heroic acts that have occurred over the last several days, starting with the terrible bombing attack that occurred on Monday, here we are, and not forgetting the victims of the crimes that have occurred over the last several days. The victims of the bombings, as the governor said, Martin, Lingsey, Crystal, two officers who have been hurt, one who lost his life, Sean Collier, and Richard Donahue, who is fighting for his life. Our thoughts and our prayers are with their families. Tonight you're going to have many questions, but I want to say, as I have said the last several days, this has been a very active and ongoing investigation. And although for some of you tonight is a closure, for me, the journey continues. And so this will continue to be an ongoing and active investigation as we sort all the details, continue to evaluate a tremendous amount of evidence, and file our formal charges. But I will say this, I have never been prouder to stand with a tremendous group of law enforcement here, from the colonel to the commissioner to my federal colleague, Rick DeLaurier, with the FBI. All of the federal agencies, the state and local departments that have worked so hard since the attacks on Monday, so committed, and putting their lives on the line as we fought the last 24 hours to try to get a suspect into custody. And so my journey and my office's journey begins, and this investigation will continue, so we will not be able to provide the details that you may want at this time, but as the days continue, you will get answers to those questions. Thank you.
That's U.S. Attorney Carmen Ortiz speaking there.
I just want to say very briefly, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you to the law enforcement officials who work together. State police, Boston police, FBI, all working together. That's when government works the best. I want to thank also the citizens out there. For the last week, worked in unknown what's happening out there because of the bombing at the marathon. But today, because of the hard work of so many individuals, my Boston police working together with the state police, we have a conclusion that we're all satisfied with. But also, folks, I have to remember the folks who lost their lives this past week. This shall go on. We're a better city than what happened this past week, and we'll get better. And to all of you folks out in the media, thank you for the support you gave us for this past week. It wasn't easy. Some days you said to us, why? Let me tell you. Where they're working hard. I want to say I spent a lot of time with the law enforcement officials. They worked so hard this week to come to a conclusion. Tonight, today, night, we say thank you to them for the work they did, tracing down every one of those leads that we got, which was so significant to what came to the end of this case today. Carmen Ortiz, now it's up to her job to bring the federal courts. But I tell you, I feel so good about this. I tell you, I'm so happy. Because the people of our greater Boston area will be able to sleep tonight because of the work of these individuals.
That's Boston Mayor Thomas Menino.
Good evening. My name is Rick DeLaurier. I'm the special agent in charge of the FBI's Boston division. It seems like many months since Monday, April 15th, the day of the Boston Marathon bombings. Yet it has been merely 5 days since the tragic explosions that took three lives, critically injured over 180 spectators, and instilled terror and fear among the citizens of the city of Boston, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and elsewhere. Today, the city of Boston, the city of Cambridge, and the city of Watertown, and many other communities can breathe a sigh of relief knowing that two perpetrators who caused so much pain and anguish are no longer a threat to our personal safety and to our communities. Together with the action and support of our Joint Terrorism Task Force partners, many of which are on the stage with me this evening, the FBI and our partners remain vigilant and continue to follow through thousands of leads and sifted through hundreds of tips, through thousands of man hours to reach this moment. This was truly an absolutely intense investigation, and I do emphasize a truly intense investigation. As a result of that, justice is being served for the victims of these terrible crimes. I want to personally express the FBI's profound thanks to each of our partners for bringing us to this moment here this evening. No one agency alone accomplished this critically important task of keeping the city of Boston and the Commonwealth of Massachusetts safe. Thank you very much, and I support you. I thank you for your support of our media campaign the other day, which publicized the photos. I thank you very, very much for the support that the media provided us on that. It was phenomenal, and I thank each and every one of you tonight. Thank you.
Commissioner Davis.
It's FBI agent, special agent in charge, Rick DeLaurier, speaking the other day. It was just yesterday that those pictures came out. Now we're
going to
hear from the
police
chief of Watertown, Chief Davis.
There's no explaining the savagery involved here. There's no explanation for it. I spent the last several days looking at hundreds of hours of videotape. I got to see how brutal that attack was over and over and over again. But more importantly, I got to see what the Boston police officers who responded to that scene, along with the
medical
personnel,
the Boston police commissioners,
first responders, did to put people back together. Tourniquets, stemming the bleeding with their hands, putting a man who was on fire out with their hands. These are the kind of things that came out of this savagery. Makes me proud to be a Boston police officer. It makes me proud to be a part of this team. Rick DeLaurier from the FBI could not be more cooperative. We've sat together almost hour for the last 4 days, sharing every single bit of information in a real team. Colonel Albans, the same way. Commodore Ortiz with us all the time. And then to bring the governor and the mayor together, leading the city of Boston in responding to this. I finally just want to say that the citizens of the city have been incredible. They've been patient with us. They've endured an enormous amount of heartache and aggravation over the last 4 days. We're very happy to try to put this back together. Thank you.
Watertown Police Chief DeBoe.
That was the Boston Police Commissioner, yeah. Ed Davis.
Now comes the Watertown
Police Chief. I can't be prouder of my community and the men and women at the Watertown Police Department. What they've been through, what we've been through the last 24 hours, I wouldn't want to see another police department go through. The support that we've had from all the different agencies that have been mentioned tonight over the last 24 hours has been incredible. To see so many agencies work together with the governor, with the mayor of Boston, and our officials in Watertown has been really great. I've spoken to the people in Watertown before, but I can't thank you enough. The community stood strong, and it was a call from a resident of Watertown. We asked you to remain vigilant, and you did. We got that call, and we got the guy. And so we can't thank you enough. You've done everything and more than we've asked. Extremely proud of law enforcement today and what we've accomplished. Thank you.
Chief, with the suspect?
And that's the police chief of Watertown, Massachusetts, Edward DeVoe. We should mention that President Obama will be speaking soon, and we will bring you that news conference when it happens.
Officer Donahue and his family, please know that it was deeply appreciated. Thank you. And I also want to commend all of the law enforcement agencies who took part in this. This is truly dedication and commitment at its best, and I'm proud to be part of it. Thank you.
Special agent in charge of the ATF.
My name is Joseph Adarumo, special in charge. Special agent in charge of ATF.
Over here, around me. All right.
Today, the entire world witnessed this law enforcement's community commitment to apprehending these offenders. Make no doubt that this combined effort will never cease in its protection of every city, every town, and every neighborhood in our nation. The prayers from every ATF employee will continue to go out to the victims as they heal from this senseless act of violence. May God bless the citizens.
Suffolk County District Attorney Dan Conley.
Thank you very much. I was listening to the police action all afternoon on the radio, and I'd like to add my voice, to those who came before me to say what an extraordinary police operation across all jurisdictions that I was able to listen to and witness today. I was down at the scene early on, and in our business, Carmen, myself, it's about accountability, and I can't say how happy I am and how pleased I am that the second subject was taken alive. This will really ensure accountability for the victims and their families. So congratulations to all law enforcement for a job very well done. And now the task ahead for accountability. Thank you.
We'll take questions.
How did the events transpire at the votes?
There was a call that came into the Watertown Police, three Boston police officers, along with state troopers and FBI agents, responded to Franklin Street. A man had gone out of his house after being inside the house all day, abiding by our request to stay inside. He walked outside and he saw blood on a boat in the backyard. He then opened a tarp on the top of the boat, and he looked in and saw a man covered with blood. He retreated and called us. We set up a perimeter around that boat, and over the course of the next hour or so, we exchanged gunfire with the suspect who was inside the boat, and ultimately the hostage rescue team of the FBI made an entry into the boat and remove the suspect who was still alive in the boat.
Can you talk about the imperative of taking him alive? How much?
We always want to take all of the suspects alive.
I understand that, sir. But can you talk about it in the context of this particular individual? You talk about accountability. Can you talk about why you want to take?
We always want to take somebody alive so that we can find out what happened, why it happened, and we can hold them for justice.
How badly injured is this suspect?
The hostage rescue team actually did work in trying to negotiate him out of that boat. They did try to talk him out, although from what I understand, he was not communicative.
Other people have also been taken into custody as well, reportedly. Have they aided and abetted the suspect?
there's been that. Actually, I don't have that information.
Commissioner Davis, can you talk about the suspect injuries? No other suspects out there.
That you've got your guy. This is it.
I think that based upon our investigation at this point in time, the citizens of the city of Boston in this area can be confident that the threat has been removed.
What kind of condition is the suspect?
Suspect is in serious condition at the hospital.
How did you know that these were the suspects you were looking for? They didn't rob the 7-Eleven, so how did you know that they were there at the same time?
The suspects came to our attention after a vicious assassination of the police officer at MIT, and a subsequent robbery that occurred where we got videotaped from a gas station. The robbery actually was a carjacking. The car was taken from the scene. And officers engaged that car from the Watertown Police Department along with other officers. We were then able to put the case together.
Was he shot by a police officer?
The man who found him at the boat said that he was covered with blood. We assume that those injuries occurred the evening before. There was an exchange of gunfire at the boat. I don't know if he was struck. There was a house in New Bedford that the hostage rescue team went into from the FBI because we felt that it was important to the investigation, but the suspect was not found.
Given that he was still out there and armed...
I'm sorry.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what you call the assassination of Collier? Was he shot in cold blood? What do you know about?
My assessment of that particular incident is that he was assassinated in his cruiser.
And do you know what he was doing?
He was responding to a call for a disturbance.
Given that he was out there, still armed, was it a mistake to give the all clear and let people go outside? Couldn't they have been at risk?
We certainly did not give an all clear. We made it clear that people, and Colonel Albans is here and spoke very eloquently to this. This was a very serious and dangerous situation. We had no information that the suspect was still holed up in this particular area. He managed to elude us by being just slightly outside of the perimeter that we set up. But in truth, we told everybody that this was a dangerous situation and they should be cautious. This is a very dangerous time in the world. We have to use caution. That's what we ask people to do. Thankfully, this man who found the suspect called us right away, did the right thing, got on 911. We were able to come in and take care of the situation.
Did he have explosives with him when he was captured?
There's no report of explosives with him at capture. But I got to tell you, I was at the scene last night just after this incident occurred. There was an exchange of over 200 rounds of gunfire. There were improvised explosive devices and handmade hand grenades that were thrown at the officers at the scene. This is the stuff that, in an urban police department, it's almost unheard of. So these officers acted heroically, courageously. They protected the community, and they protected each other when they responded to this scene. I'm so proud of the actions of the Watertown Police, the State Police, the Boston Police. It's been an incredible team. He did. I can't say. I was told that there was an exchange of gunfire. I was not there when he was taken out of the boat.
No Miranda warning. Claiming public exemption. Could you explain that for us?
Actually, the United States Attorney may want to, or the FBI may want to explain that. It's a federal issue.
Had the boat been searched earlier today?
Just a minute. We're going to finish the question.
No, sorry. It had not.
What was the question?
Reports tonight are that there was no Miranda warning given, that they were claiming a public safety exemption. Could we get an explanation for that?
There is a public safety exemption in cases of national security and potential charges involving acts of terrorism. And so the government has that opportunity right now, though I believe that the suspect has been taken to a hospital. So we'll start with there. Thank you. Yes? I'm sorry. You know, what I indicated earlier is that this is still an active and ongoing investigation. We're going to be reviewing all of the evidence. Before that kind of a decision is made in terms of whether or not to seek the death penalty, you review all of the evidence, and it's a very thoughtful, long process that is engaged, and it's the Attorney General of the Department of Justice that... that makes that final decision.
Commissioner,
I'm sorry, Karen.
Went straight to the vote, and then can you
or Colonel Alvin, talk to us a little bit about what happened when you were on the scene. Was he moving around? How did you know it was finally a chance to take him into custody?
Yes, I'm going to let...
We know he didn't go straight to the boat. We set up the perimeter with the best intentions, with a lot of information. We found blood in the car that he abandoned. We found blood behind a house inside the perimeter. So we had no information that he had gotten outside of the perimeter. As we said, it was very chaotic early this morning. We had an aide, a police officer, that was shot, bleeding. And so there was a lot of things going on. We thought we got the perimeter solid, and we pretty much did that, but we were about one block away. So, but he had to be moving a little bit after he was behind the house for a period of time that we know.
When he got there, though, was he moving? And how did you know that you could take him into custody? Had he been moving around? Were you able to watch him?
Yeah.
Sure. The reason that we knew this is our helicopter had actually detected the subject in the boat. We have a what's called a FLIR, a forward-looking infrared device on that helicopter. It picked up the heat signature of the individual, even though he was underneath what appeared to be the shrink wrap or a cover on the boat itself. And there was movement from that point on, and the helicopter was able to direct the tactical teams over to that area and ultimately take him into custody.
Did the police search the boat during the day?
That's Colonel Timothy Albin, the superintendent of the Massachusetts State Police, talking about how they knew, how they could see the suspect inside the boat where he was hiding. We've learned in this news conference, Melissa, that he was covered with blood, that he'd been pretty seriously injured in that firefight.
And some fascinating details here, Robert, that apparently the resident whose boat this was stepped outside after they'd been given the "you can go outside" alert from the police, went outside, saw blood on the boat, lifted the tarp, and saw the suspect inside covered in blood. Let's go back to the news conference.
I think we've taken enough questions for now.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to a briefing by an array of government and law enforcement officials in Watertown, Massachusetts, about the capture of the second suspect. We are also awaiting, we should say, a statement, not a news conference, which I said earlier, but a statement from President Obama at the White House at the conclusion of this long and stressful and ultimately successful day. But a number of the speakers there, Robert, pointed to, you know, in the midst of this celebration of this capture alive of the suspect, the lives that were lost, the many, many dozens of people, over 170 people injured in the marathon, and the terror that spread through the entire city of Boston.
It's been an astonishing week, and just when we think that on Monday we were getting reports of so many people taken to emergency rooms in either in need of amputation or having been had limbs severed by the blasts, all of that, of course, tempers the celebration that people are experiencing now. The other news we had here is that the second suspect, Jahar Tsarnaev, is in the hospital in serious condition, is what we said. I don't know how technical the chief was being with that, but he had been bleeding a great deal, he'd been injured, but he didn't say he's in critical condition.
And another correction, I said earlier he was taken to Mount Auburn Hospital. I've seen later information, conflicting information, that he was taken to Mass General and to Beth Israel Deaconess, which is where his older brother, Tamerlan Tsarnaev, was also taken. NPR's
David Shaper. David was at the news conference, I think, and joins us from Watertown right now. Hi, David. What did you glean from that?
Well, you know, I think again, it was pretty interesting to me to hear, you know, the description of the aggressive search that they did all through the day and all through the night last night in trying to find the location of the suspect and try to figure out where he was. We did hear tonight that they did see trails of blood at the time, leading from the car that he abandoned, I think on a house that he may have come across. But that he wasn't that far away, yet was just a little bit outside of the perimeter. And yet they seemed to think just 15, 20 minutes before he was found, telling us that they no longer needed people to remain indoors. Sure, everybody should exercise caution, but no need to... stay indoors, and that suggested that they thought he had left the area.
But this is interesting, because that was not an ironic coincidence that shortly after that announcement, He was reported. What happened was after that,
the guy went outside.
The man went outside. He was allowed to do that and saw blood on his boat. So indeed, there was a real causal relationship between that announcement, oddly, an announcement of failure to locate the suspect, and the discovery of the suspect. Tom Gelton is with us in the studio.
Yeah, and Tom, one other detail I want to ask you about. The officials there in Watertown mentioned the helicopter that detected a heat signature under the tarp on this boat.
So it was a combination of two things. It was, as you say, the homeowner who actually saw the blood-covered suspect in the boat, but then in combination with that, the helicopter with the infrared-seeking technology that was able to, according to the police chief, was able to direct the police to that very spot. So combination of sort of human intelligence and high-tech intelligence led to the discovery of the suspect. You know, there's something else that can we just talk about for 1 minute?
Sure, Tom.
This is arguably the first act of terrorism in the United States since 9/11. And because it's an act of terrorism, it is bound to ignite the whole debate about how do you deal with acts of terrorism.
The first successful. There was an attempt at
the first successful,
Times Square.
The first successful, right. And we already sort of got the opening shot in that debate. The U.S. Attorney Carmen Ortiz said she will file, that the U.S. will file formal charges against this individual. So we know this is going to be handled in an ordinary law enforcement manner. She also mentioned that there is this issue that he does not necessarily have to be read his Miranda rights, the right to remain silent and not to have
the right to a lawyer also.
Exactly, because there is a public safety exception, which she pointed, although it appears that they have not encountered that threshold yet because he is in the hospital. So I think what we can take from that is that he hasn't been interrogated yet.
Is the public safety exception open-ended, or does it merely provide a window during which time one can question without Mirandizing? I don't want to put you on the spot. I'm sorry. I
learned something from what she said right there, which is that it applies in cases of national security when national security is at stake. So national security is not always permanently at stake.
I think this came up in the Abdulmutallab case as to whether he had been Mirandized appropriately.
And Tom, as we were discussing earlier, still questions. The officials were asked about a search of a house in New Bedford. They said there had been reason to believe the suspect might be there. They went in. He wasn't there. But again, they seem to be saying, we have our guy. This is it. But obviously, the investigation continues.
Well, remember
continues.
From the earlier press conference, they said they were following leads in eastern Massachusetts.
Yeah.
So they clearly had some ideas that, he may have some friends, acquaintances. Possibly they might have been thinking he had fled somewhere. Those are some of the things that we're going to have to find out in the coming days.
Weren't they in eastern Massachusetts? Excuse me, it's been late. It's a long day for me, but I thought they were.
The greater eastern Massachusetts.
Greater eastern Massachusetts. For people who might wonder why we're still here at this very moment, it's because we're expecting President Obama to make a statement at the White House about the surrender of the second suspect in the Boston Marathon bombing case. We don't expect it to be a very long statement, and it's not a news conference. There won't be questions, but it would be kind of put some punctuation on this event.